Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So we've heard an awful lot about we need to be testing teachers. We need to evaluate the, so we can get rid of the bad ones, right? How many times have you heard this idiotic phrase? We need to get rid of all those bad teachers. Because we're led to believe you can never fire a teacher, which is just ludicrous. But the right-wing message machine, amazing. Amazing at beating us constantly with the idea that, well, we need to be testing the teachers. And if students don't learn, it's all the teacher's fault. Never mind all of the ancillary problems society has, especially when you're talking about our urban centers. No, it's the teacher's fault. And I got to tell you, this obsession, this fetish we have with this data-driven education, something quite concerning to me. And fortunately, teachers are standing up, fighting back and saying, you know what? What is, and it's not our fault, which is why I've asked Amanda Cum Laude. She is an art teacher down in Mississippi. Amanda, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So we in this country seem to be, you know, obsessed with this idea that we have to evaluate teachers. In fact, here in Pennsylvania, part of the teachers' compensation is based on, in part, these evaluations, which I got to be honest, I'm not so thrilled with.
Oh, I'm not either. You know, it goes back to Race to the Top when the Department of Education offered several billion dollars in funding and No Child Left Behind waivers to states in exchange for redesigning their evaluation processes. And those, you know, one of the requirements for that was that they were heavily weighted on student test scores.
So you look at these test scores. I mean, what we've done is we've basically changed our education system to just be about these scores.
That's right. You know, the idea on paper about teacher evaluations is that they're supposed to strengthen teaching, provide feedback to the teachers to help them, you know, get better and provide support. But, you know, it's really unclear what the real impact has been. We've especially on working teachers who are still in the profession, and even on administrators, there's just very little data that tells us what the real impact has been.
Right, because we're not against, you know, making sure that teachers are competent. We're not against the idea of making sure that they understand the material and that they're able to get that out. It's that these set of it's like the high stakes testing. I'm not anti-testing. As long as there's a diagnostic part of it where you take a test today, tomorrow you get the results, you learn what you didn't know. I'm not against that kind of a testing and evaluating, but this isn't that.
No, it's not. But, you know, we have reports coming out left and right that teachers are leaving the profession and that people are not going to school to be teachers anymore, and that morale has dropped with the teaching profession. And so I think it's important that we start looking at things that have changed within the profession in the last 10 years or so, and the teacher evaluation is a good place to start looking, because we're not talking about using it. It's not. We don't think it's working the way that you just described.
Right.
It's really unclear what the real impact is. And so, you know, the Network for Public Education has sponsored a project to investigate this. We want to look at teacher evaluations over the past decade and how they've changed, what the impacts are being on classrooms and schools, and even how, you know, students are being affected by these.
So that's an excellent question right there. I mean, the way it's been framed to me in the conversations that I've had over the years is, it's like we were never testing or evaluating teachers in the past, that this is something new that we're doing now just to make sure that they're competent. Or am I missing something?
Are you you're saying that you think that people, you know, the message was that before we weren't doing it?
Yeah, I've had those conversations where, you know, we need to have evaluations because we need to know if teachers are competent. It's been my understanding that, you know, teachers have been evaluated for years.
Teachers, they have, and there's been, you know, different ways that they've been evaluated, and I think there was more state and local control before Race to the Top on how to evaluate their teachers. You know, communities vary. What one community needs to do might be different from another,
right,
in that sense, but they've never been so heavily weighted just on student test scores as they are right now.
So what, you know, in looking at this, you know, for people like me who go, you know, what I'm seeing happening in front of me, I don't agree with. I don't like this whole data-driven education system to where we're, look, I've got three kids in public school. And this focus, this single-minded, simplistic focus on, don't worry, Mr. Smith, your kids will pass the PSSAs, this test at the end of the year that you won't get till next year, doesn't give me comfort.
Well, I don't, it's not all about, you cannot judge everything that is taught to a student on a test. I mean, the social skills, all those other things are not, that you can't get that from a number on a test. The data is important, but all of that other stuff is. And what happens, I think, when you focus so much on data is you end up narrowing down that curriculum. They're not, they don't get the art that they need. Their social skills are, you know, end up being the last thing taught. And all you get is just a whole lot of test prep.
Right.
You know, and that's not good for kids.
I'm with you. You know, I'm concerned about where this all heads and where we go, because I think most people are like me. We think that, you know, education is like it was back when we were in school. You know, you took a test on a Friday, Monday, you got the test back. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. And you grow from that and you learn from that. That's not really what's going on. And I would argue the same thing with these teacher evaluations. It seems to me almost like punishing teachers and stifling creativity and you know, basically turning your profession into factory work.
It is. I agree with that. Especially, I think in some areas you're seeing like scripted lessons come through where the teacher literally they don't get to make decisions about the students that they know. They're handed a scripted lesson and expected to teach a script. And teachers don't want to do that. They want to be able to make professional decisions about the students that they know. They don't want someone that's sitting, you know, in their state capitol to hand them a scripted lesson, but that somebody that doesn't even know their students. And then they're evaluated on how well they taught that scripted lesson. I mean, the two things just don't go together.
Yeah, I'm with you. So what do parents – because, look, I think as a parent – I want to know that the teacher is competent. I want to know that they have a strong command of the subject. And look, you know, we know our kids' teachers, and we've met them, and you know, we feel very comfortable with them. My concern, though, is this bizarre push towards numbers and this whole push towards evaluation. Where I got to be honest, I wouldn't want to be a teacher today.
It's hard, you know. We've got to get teachers' voices into the policy making. And that's what, you know, this Network for Public Education survey is about. Because so many times, and I've participated in things like this myself, where I would work on a project and what ended up being published was not exactly what I had said. And so, you know, then you start questioning, well, who funded this? And, you know, what was the agenda behind this? And so where teachers' voices are not authentically being presented to policymakers. So the Network for Public Education survey on teacher evaluations is a chance for teachers to have their authentic voice be part of an actual report, because I personally really have a lot of faith in the Network for Public Education to honor what teachers have to say.
Right.
And as what you said about being a parent, yes, it's not that we don't want to be evaluated as teachers, and we want our parents to have faith in us, and we want to be able to say, this is what I can do for your child. But we also need to have teachers have their voice in this process, because we know what's going on. We are in those rooms with those kids. We have the best information to help make these policies. And I think, if, like with my own child, I would want to know that a teacher had a voice in, and she wasn't just, it wasn't about getting her in trouble. It was about really improving what she can do for my own child.
And, you know, when I look at these, the way it's been put to me and the way that I've looked at the whole push for these evaluations, that's really what it seems like. It seems like we're trying to demean teachers and really start labeling them as bad and failures. And I got to be honest, like I said before, I wouldn't want to be a teacher. When my 13-year-old said she'd like to be one, I kind of cringed just because I don't like the idea of where things are going. And it seems to me, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it's about destroying our public schools and pushing us towards these private, profitized kind of these charters or whatever. These schools that aren't in the hands of we the people.
I personally agree with you on that, because I think that when you create that perception of failure, and that these perfectly great teachers are failures based on a number, then you can erode the public's faith in public school. And that's why we're talking about this, because the public's faith should not be eroded in our public school.
I'm with you. You know, any horror stories in this? I mean, you know, because I talked to someone, you know, not too long ago who said, you know, they retired and got out of it because, one, the attacks on pensions, two, the assembly line nature. I mean, the one teacher was explaining, you get 6 minutes to do this, 11 minutes to do this. And she was like, you know, I can't keep up with this.
You don't have a restroom break sometimes. You can't. It's the stress, and it's not just a mental stress anymore. For some teachers that I talk to, that I hear that there's just the stress on their family is horrible, because they have to take as much home as they get done in the school day. They don't get to do things on the weekends with their own children anymore. You know, it's mental and it's physically exhausting and it's stressful. And I worry about the many, many families of teachers, like their own children are suffering.
So what should we be doing? What should we parents be doing to support our teachers?
That is a very tough question. I think you need to talk to your children's teachers for sure and let them know that you support them. And you got to help them establish that two-way conversation, because a lot of teachers are afraid to say anything. But if we know we have the support of parents, I think that helps a lot.
Do you think that's a big part of this whole evaluation craze, is to silence teachers, to, you know, to kind of put them back in their place?
Yes, they're afraid to speak up.
No, because I see it with my kids' teachers as well, because we opt our children out of the PSSA tests. And, you know, you can see that, you know, when they give the spiel, don't worry, they'll pass the test. And I chime in, well, they're not taking the test. And they kind of look at me, you know, sideways, like, oh, my God, don't say that. The walls are listening. And I wonder often if, you know, if that culture exists of fear, where you've got this kind of overarching intimidation of our teachers.
I will have to say that I work in a really great school, and I don't feel a culture of fear at my school, but I talk to teachers all over this country and I hear it. And that, you know, people just send me messages on social media, just like they just need to vent to someone. And because I have kind of started speaking out publicly, they just come to me and tell me how stressed out they are, how afraid they are to speak up. And that's another thing I wanted to mention about that survey for the Network for Public Education, is that there's an option to remain anonymous with that. And so that's, if you have something you need to say, you can do it anonymously.
So we want to be pushing teachers to the Living in Dialogue site. The link we've got at therickSmithShow.com. Just click on Amanda's names. It'll take you right there. That's a SurveyMonkey survey for people to give their thoughts and to be very honest, right?
That's right.
And I highly suggest that folks do. And if you've got your kids' teachers, put it in an email and say, hey, you might want to participate in this. It's what I'm going to do, because I think the more we reach out to our teachers, the more conversations we have, and the more opportunities that we give to them to reach out, I think the better we're all going to be.
That's right. That's an excellent way to show your support, too.
I just think it's what we should be doing, and how we take back our public schools. It's just what we have to do. Amanda, I appreciate you taking a little time, sharing your story, your experience. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
It was great talking with you, Amanda Kunlaba. She's an art teacher there from Mississippi. Again, I highly suggest go to the RickSmithShow.com. Click on Amanda's name. Going to take you to the website. Copy, paste that link. Send it off to your kids' teacher and say, hey, you might want to take this. Have your voice heard. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around.
All of my life I've searched for clarity. I have wrestled with two paths buried deep inside of me. I lost some rounds, been knocked around, felt my share of defeat. Yet somehow I've always managed to get back on my feet.